This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today. Glad you're hanging out with us. Mike Elam will be in tomorrow, and Mark Reardon himself will be back here in the big chair on Monday. I got to tell you, my next guest, he is the wisest man you will ever hear when it comes to talking about money. Dave Simons, partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, and a good friend of mine. Dave, great to talk to you, sir.
Brad, thank you so much, and you are way too kind. I had to do a double take. Is he talking about me?
Wait, yeah, who put my dad on here to talk about me? But I wanted to reach out to you because people sometimes don't recognize how the Federal Reserve can influence the entire economy. And Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, commented on two different topics this week, and I wanted to get your take on it. First of all, the markets were expecting a cut. The Federal Reserve gave us a cut, and yet there were comments about the possibility of future cuts that literally sent the market into a little bit of a free fall this week. Tell us what the Fed did and didn't do and why it's important.
Well, to your point, what you earlier said about the influence of the Fed, I have always said, look, the president can move markets, whether it's Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, George Bush, whoever. But the most important man when it comes to moving markets potentially is always going to be your Fed chair. And we saw it again this week. As you mentioned yesterday, so as expected, the Fed did cut short-term interest rates by a quarter of 1%. But Brad, what shocked the markets a little bit is all of a sudden some voting members of the Fed said, you know, that December meeting that we've got, our next meeting, and everybody's expecting us to cut again. Well, we're not so sure we want to do that. And that's what really caught the market by surprise. And that's why you had a market that had been up all day suddenly turn a little south yesterday. And we just saw a continuation of that today. So I still am of the opinion that the Fed will likely cut again. But my confidence in that was definitely taken aback a little bit by Jerome Powell's statements.
And what economic trends, Dave Simons, what economic trends lead you to believe that even with that comment from one of the Fed members, that you still see another cut coming? What trends are causing you to have that opinion?
Well, I think you're seeing, look, the Fed has a double mandate. There are two things that it looks at, and that is labor, the unemployment rate and all that, and inflation. And this is where Jay Powell and his cohorts are really struggling right now because they're moving in opposite directions. You've got inflation's a little bit stubborn. He would love to see it back down at 2%. I don't think that you need to have it that low, but it's right now still hovering around 2.9% generally. So they're battling that. And if that's all you worried about, you would not cut rates. The problem is the other part of that, Brad, is the fact that we're seeing some weakness in the labor area. And that's the thing that concerns me a little bit. And now you're starting to see on the margins. I'll just give you some anecdotal evidence here. We just got some really bad earnings from some of these restaurants, and namely Chipotle. Chipotle's stock today got hammered. And to me, these kinds of fast casual restaurants are the canary in the coal mine. When consumers are starting to tighten their belt a little bit, this is one of the first places that you see. And so you see a lot of these fast casual restaurant stocks start to come down. I think the Fed should cut rates again, but this gave us a little pause yesterday.
Understood. Well, the other topic that I wanted to get to, because I think to some extent they're intertwined. And let me set the table here. When you talk about jobs, Amazon announced this week they're cutting 12,000 jobs globally, or at least nationally. And when I dug deep into that, a lot of those are, most of those, in fact, are middle management jobs that their jobs are being replaced now with AI agents. And so this middle core of middle management isn't as necessary. Why am I setting that up? Because the other thing Jay Powell talked about was he was asked about whether or not we are staring down an AI bubble, much like the dot-com bubble from 25 years ago. Explain the concept of an AI, but the potential for an AI bubble, and what you see, whether this does or does not compare with the dot-com bubble.
So I could do an entire seminar about this. It is the most common. It is the most common topic I'm addressing right now in my weekly commentary. I do a podcast on YouTube. In fact, it probably 50% of the ones that I've been doing lately are looking at the potential for this bubble. So I will say this. Do we have a little bit of a bubble in AI and AI-related stocks? The answer is yes. But let me clarify. That's not to worry investors at all. This is not 1999. It is not the beginning of 2000. I was there. I was managing money back then as well. I am telling you, it's not even comparable between the two. You had unbridled greed and enthusiasm back there. You had the proverbial little old lady selling her CDs and buying her first stock, and the stock wasn't, you know, Walmart. It was some newfangled dot-com stock. We don't have that kind of thing going on right now. With that said, are things getting a little ahead of ourselves here? Yes. And so I actually love to see the market correcting here these last couple of days. I really hope that we can see a bit of a pullback, a little froth off the top, because if we don't, and this really turns into the late 90s and 2000, you and I, Brad, could be having a different conversation in another year or two and saying, okay, we are now starting to sell some of these stocks because it's getting a little out of hand. I agree with Jay Powell's comments when he says this is not 99, because the companies in focus now are real. They're making billions of dollars in real earnings, unlike many of the companies in 99. And just one example is the poster child here, NVIDIA. NVIDIA is making so much money, they hardly know what to do with it. You know, kind of, Brad, like you are personally. You know, you just don't know what to do with all the money coming in. So NVIDIA is not only buying its own stock back at these record inflated prices, which most companies don't do. They're like, we don't know what else to do with all this. We have so much. But they're pouring hundreds of billions back into the AI infrastructure and reaching partnerships with other companies. So this is a lot different from 99 today. We will continue to monitor it, because if this thing continues without any meaningful correction, then that bubble will grow and it will start to concern me a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting, because as you were going through that, Dave, I kind of knew, I know you well enough, I knew where you were going to go with that. And I agree completely that these AI companies are different than dot-com, because they're actually generating revenue, they're actually making products, they're selling services. It's something other than just speculation. And yet, while you were explaining that so perfectly, I was reminded of a friend of mine who loves investing in cryptocurrency. And she keeps telling me, Brad, you're really missing the boat here on all this cryptocurrency. And I explained to her that Warren Buffett's position, who's, you know, not a dumb man there in Warren Buffett, said that if you had all the cryptocurrency in the world, what would you do with it? Because it doesn't do anything. The only thing there is to do is to sell it to someone else. Do you see and do you have a lot of those types of questions that come up about whether people should be investing in cryptocurrency?
Yeah, that's a tough one because you're exactly right. I there really is no utility to crypto. It's not to the point where a lot of your early adherents thought that this would be either something close to a digital dollar. Well, that's clearly not the case, but because you can't buy a bunch of stuff with it. And, you know, currencies don't fluctuate this wildly. Well, it's going to be a replacement for gold. No, that's not the way it is either. If you look at crypto, it trades more like a NASDAQ growth type of stock. It's very volatile. With that said, I will say that I'm more confident in the long-term growth aspects of, let's say, a Bitcoin than I was even a few years ago. And I say that because of, guess what, the man in the White House and the people around him. They are, for better or worse, I offer no opinion on this. This is just factual, that they are big supporters of the entire burgeoning industry of cryptocurrency, and in Bitcoin in particular. So when you've got a powerful administration like this behind it, and by the way, now financial institutions that once laughed at it, like J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon and people like that, are now getting involved. Well, there's something behind it. So without giving buy, sell, or hold recommendation, I just give you my two cents and think that this is probably more of a real investment, longer term, that maybe I would have admitted a couple of years ago. But I would still say invest carefully, and like anything, just keep it to whatever your risk tolerance allows.
We're talking to Dave Simons, partner and managing director of One Private Wealth. And Dave, this time of year, this is a natural time of year for folks to say, okay, I want to look at where my investments are. I want to look at how I'm doing. I need to make some adjustments. What should people be doing this time of year when it comes to their retirement portfolio?
First thing you want to do is look at the tax situation with just a couple of months left. It depends on, you know, how much money someone has in their taxable accounts versus IRAs. Of course, IRAs don't matter in terms of the taxable situation in there unless you're taking distributions. But I know there's been a lot of trading internally right now in markets like this. So there might be some big capital gains, especially for people who might own mutual funds or ETFs. You might get some big year-end tax gains. So I don't think there's a lot of losses to take these days. We've had three strong years, but it might be something you talk to your tax person about that as well. But I will say this, Brad, in terms of being kind of at the end of the year, and we literally just went past the third year anniversary of the low of the market of 22. And so these three double-digit years, and I get the sense that now some of the Johnny-come-latelys are wanting to pile into this. And I would just offer my caution on that. If you're a long-term investor, I don't worry about it too much. But my worry is always a lot of people who are not real sophisticated and don't really understand the stock market and think it's a day trading vehicle, which it's not, will now start to get involved because they're tired of their neighbors and coworkers talking about how much they're making. And they're like, well, I'm going to do it. And they're doing it at these record highs. And 2 months later, oh, that was stupid. I'm back out. And they won't learn their lesson. So approach it cautiously. I'm still bullish longer term. I always am. The AI thing is real. But man, do I hope we get a near-term correction. We just need that.
Well, I was just thinking about the famous quote from Alan Greenspan, who talked about irrational exuberance. And
yes,
I'm never going to forget that term. I'm never going to forget that term because it's so economically wonkish to say irrational exuberance. And yet that's what we have when we've got folks who don't know what they're doing but are just investing in order to compete with their neighbors on the cul-de-sac. Doesn't that define and embody irrational exuberance?
Well, it does. And I love the fact that you pointed that out, because I remember it so well. That was in December of 96. And what's interesting about that is little did anybody know, including the former Fed chairman himself, that we had three more years of that internet bubble expanding. Mm-hmm. We were just 2 years into it, kind of like the AI trade, frankly. We're a couple of years into this. And it would be like the current Fed chairman, Jay Powell, coming out and saying this is irrational exuberance. And I'd say, yeah, I think you might be right. And then having three more years of it. And that circles back to what we talked about earlier. We are not at 99 levels. These are the beginning stages of a potential bubble.
Yes.
I don't think we have to get there if we can just have some pullbacks here and there and Mr. Market takes his pound of flesh here and there from investors. But I still like the upward trajectory of this, only if we can get these usual corrections, which we have not had. If you and I are talking a year from now and we still have not had a decent double-digit correction, then I say we go from the second or third inning of a bubble where we are now to maybe the sixth or seventh inning a year from now. Not, and then that's not a prediction necessarily. No. I'm just hoping we don't get there.
Absolutely. Dave Simons, partner and managing director at One Private Wealth. If folks want to get a hold of you to do a check of their investments, to do to consider how should I be changing my investment philosophy as I'm getting closer to retirement, how can folks reach you?
Well, the best way to go is just go to the website. You can see the whole team and contact information there. And that's just simply onepwm.com, and you spell out the one, O-N-E-P-W-M, as in privatewealth.com.
Very good. Dave Simons, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, because I always learn something every single time I talk to you. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule today.
Hey, I appreciate it, Brad. You have a great evening and wonderful Halloween tomorrow.
And to you as well, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Hey, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, let's see, I'm going to talk a little bit about the intellectual diversity. You know, we all hear about racial diversity as being important, but what about intellectual diversity? Is that important? Why isn't the left standing up for intellectual diversity on college campuses? More that and more coming up next here on The Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young in for Mark today on St. Louis Conservative, 97.1. FM Talk.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Young, back from the break here on the Mark Reardon Show. And as I teased before the break, one of the things that I've argued for years has been this idea of intellectual diversity. Why? What's the difference? Well, we understand racial diversity, right? It's embedded in our legal system. If a client, I only represent companies, right, that get sued. And so if a company that I'm representing, if I'm representing Acme Company, and someone who is black is fired, and the replacement person is white, I'm going to be telling my client, expect a lawsuit, because there's going to be a lawsuit filed for racial discrimination. But when you look on college campuses today, there is no intellectual diversity. We have lots of racial diversity. In fact, as we know from Harvard, they even attempted to argue that they should be able to exclude Asian students from being admitted into Harvard because we have too many Asians. And so we should discriminate against the Asians in order to allow more people from different ethnic groups to be admitted into college. And that's inherently the problem with DEI programs, is that in order to achieve what you believe, school administrator, is a proper ethnic balance, then you're required to say to someone, we don't want you. I mean, for example, when I went to law school, I graduated law school from St. Louis U. A rough estimate is about 30% of my professors were Jewish. Recently, the American Bar Association came out and they discussed implementing a rule that said they would not give an accreditation to any law school whose faculty did not match the community. So let's apply that. Let's apply that concept to my law school, St. Louis U. We had 30% of the professors were Jewish. National statistics show less than 2 to 3% of Americans are Jewish. So then I would have to go, not I, but the head of the school would have to go to all of these professors who were Jewish, except for a few, and say, I'm really sorry, professor, you're doing a great job, but we have to fire you because we have too many Jewish professors. And we're not firing you because you did a bad job. We're only firing you because you don't meet the ethnic numbers of the greater St. Louis area. So we're going to have to fire you because you're Jewish. That's what that means practically. So I want to transfer this, though, to intellectual diversity, because I've always been an advocate that on college campuses, there is no intellectual diversity. What do I mean by that? Well, right now, Harvard, if you look at Harvard, according to Gallup, at Harvard right now, only 5% of professors identify as conservative, and 0.4% identify as very conservative. And yet, over 90% of the professors at Harvard identify as either liberal or progressive. 90 to 95% liberal or progressive. So where's the intellectual diversity there? If the left is a champion of saying, wait, our faculty has to look like our community. Our faculty has to look like our country. Well, right now, with the last statistics that I was able to find, about 35% of Americans identify as conservative, about 35% identify as liberal, and the rest are independents. So if we are going to apply the standards that the left requires that we apply here, then shouldn't we go to these professors like where my kids went to school at Mizzou, or go to Wash U right down the street and say, oh, I'm sorry, professor, you're a progressive, you're a fan of Bernie Sanders and Mamdani in New York. I'm sorry, we're going to have to fire you because we have too many liberals at this university. If that happened, what would be the cries and the screams from the left if professors were fired? Sue, what do you think? What would happen if professors were fired because they identified as being progressive? What would the reaction to that be?
Oh, they'd lose their minds. Protests, the whole nine. All of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so ridiculous that they will not accept this at all. It makes no sense. It's not good for the students. They should be able to hear both sides and make their own decisions, therefore become people who can make decisions based on what they think rather than anybody else by weighing both sides.
Exactly.
And it just won't happen.
Well, here's what I think is a fascinating concept. There's a publication called Academe, which is a publication by professors in academia for professors in academia.
Oh, boy.
And this essay that came out just in the October edition of Academe, it was titled, quote, Seven Theses Against Viewpoint Diversity, unquote.
Oh.
And they argue, this professor argued with 7 points why universities should never have intellectual diversity.
What would those be?
Well, some of them are so obtuse,
okay,
that you really, unless you have an advanced degree in women's studies, you're probably not going to understand it.
Mm.
But a couple of them are so blatant and yet so insightful as to the mindset of progressives. In fact, the first point was this, that viewpoint diversity opposes the pursuit of truth. So in essence, what they're saying is that because we have, as progressives,
the truth,
we are the owners,
yes,
and the possessors of the truth,
uh-huh,
that if you dare to pursue any thought, idea, or philosophy that does not align with progressives, then by definition, you are not pursuing the truth.
Does anybody hear themselves?
No. All they do is sit around and congratulate themselves on being
crazy,
so successful. And it also, on one of them, it says that viewpoint diversity undermines standards of academia and autonomy. So in other words, and this is actually true, it says, and I am interpreting it, it's the Brad Young translation of this, okay? What she's saying in this article is that if you were to institute diversity, intellectual diversity, you would be rocking our 95% progressive block
we
currently have. And we don't want you to rock our liberal boat.
So that's just whining.
It's just whining.
Yes.
Says Sue Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is whining. But if you... If you look at this stuff logically.
But yes, there's no logic in it, Brad.
Zero.
And this is what drives me bonkers.
Zero logic. Because it's in essence saying that that only we possess the truth.
That's right.
And if you disagree with us, you're by definition a liar.
Correct.
And if you put this into religious themes, you would say, unless you're a progressive, you're going to intellectual hell.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. But the last, I'm going to wrap up this segment with this last point here. And this one is actually true, but not in the way that they mean it. Okay? She writes on point 7 that viewpoint diversity is a tool of political control. Yes, it is. And in academia, you have had political control over universities for the better part of 50 years.
So they're admitting that.
Yes.
But since they hold the truth, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. In essence, it's saying, listen, I'm the king.
Yeah.
And you can't elect any other king, because if you do that, you will dethrone me.
Yeah. Or you're also saying we will then graduate people who don't agree with us.
We can't allow that to happen. And so whenever you think about, I've had 3 kids that went through the university process, and I have to tell you that they've learned some disturbing views
Wow.
that it's going to take time to rehabilitate them from. And yet, if you think about college, remember that it's so overwhelmingly biased that their job is to mold skulls full of mush and turn them into Bernie Sanders, AOC, and Mom Dami. That's the goal of our university process. And until that changes, I don't think we're going to have successful academics coming out of schools until schools realize that their goal is to educate, not to indoctrinate.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got to take a break here. Coming up after the break, we've got so much more. Stick around. We've got like 5 hours of programming in the next 27 minutes. So stick around. Brad Young sitting in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Brad Young sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Thanks for hanging out with us here on St. Louis Conservative, 97.1 FM Talk. I'm joined now by James Taylor. He's the president of the Heartland Institute to talk about our good friend Bill Gates. James, welcome to the 97.1 FM Talk. Hey, James, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you. I love it when a plan comes together.
Hey,
I wanted to reach out to you mainly because it's funny. In the last segment, I was talking about the importance in academia of intellectual diversity that doesn't exist. And yet when you look at the research element of academia today, it is primarily... it's left and more left and progressive, and yet the Heartland Institute really brings diversity. So I'm glad that you were able to join us today. What did our friend Bill Gates, billionaire extreme Bill Gates, what did he say this week about the calamity of global warming or climate change?
Well, Bill Gates, and keep in mind, he has pumped billions and billions and billions of dollars into the climate industrial complex, pumping up the notion of a climate crisis and the need to drastically alter everything we do to save the Earth. Well, he wrote on his website this week that, well, actually, now that we have more evidence in, sure, we should be concerned about climate change, but any predictions of catastrophes that will decimate the human race anytime in the foreseeable future simply aren't true. Which is amazing considering how much capital, and not just monetary, but also reputational capital he's put into this. So here we have Bill Gates, who's probably been one of the Mount Rushmore folks promoting the climate alarmist narrative is now saying, well, you know, on second thought, never mind, it's not really that bad. We should be prioritizing alleviating poverty. That's what he says. He explicitly said is a more important thing to do is to alleviate poverty than fight climate change. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bill Gates.
Isn't this the same guy that just 5 years ago wrote a book entitled, quote, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster, unquote?
Absolutely. And it just goes to show that people who were saying, people who were vilified for being deniers, denialists, taking on, criticizing and attacking science, we were right all along. Thank you, Bill Gates, for acknowledging
that.
Wow.
And I'd like you to kind of peel back the curtain or open the curtain, as it were, on some of the research that we've seen over the last 20 or 30 years, because we always hear the same mantra from the progressive left, that the consensus is, and that's always the favorite word that they use, consensus is that all research shows that humans cause global warming. Who pays for all of that so-called consensus and research?
Yeah, well, first of all, consensus is not science. Scientific evidence and data trump consensus. Second, there is no such consensus. If you ask them to cite the survey, the study, they give you bogus studies or something that doesn't even exist. But who pays for this? Well, Bill Gates has been one of the largest funders of this. Jeff Bezos and others have poured tons of money into the climate alarmist narrative. Interestingly enough, for Bill Gates, he's a techie. And in his article in which he said, hey, we've been wrong, we've been exaggerating far too much, he mentioned that AI is, in his view, the most important technological advancement issue, even greater than the invention of the Internet. And he realizes that all of his climate alarmism, in which he has urged for the shutdown of coal power plants, natural gas power plants, really any baseload, reliable, affordable energy source, well, guess what? If you continue that agenda, you cannot have your beloved AI. You can't have half the tech you want. And he realizes, wait a second, time to look at this with a little more, little dose of reality, because there will be real consequences for the world if we pursue this agenda that I've been funding.
Right. And also, to just to show how his opinions are paradoxically at odds, if he was advocating for the elimination of fossil fuels, if we would have followed his advice from his 2021 book and eliminated all fossil fuels, then electricity would be so expensive based upon renewable energy, which number one isn't renewable and number two is incredibly expensive, then the poor would be more poor because they couldn't afford energy to power their homes.
Absolutely. And many of us have heard this mantra repeated over and over again. Wind and solar are already less expensive than coal and natural gas, yet they never present any reliable data, any plausible data to back it up. So listeners, do an internet search for Heartland Institute. That's my organization. Heartland Institute, affordable, reliable, clean. We published a scorecard in which we compare energy sources on that metric. Affordable, reliable, clean, and we point you to the reliable data. And look, if wind and solar power were affordable and reliable, I'd cheer them on. But we know peer-reviewed energy economists have shown that wind power is approximately 9 times more expensive than natural gas. Solar power is more than 10 times more expensive. Mm-hmm. Don't fall for the lie. The lie often repeated does not make it true.
We're talking to James Taylor, president of the Heartland Institute. And James, the other point that I was wanting to get to earlier when I was asking about who funded these so-called studies, isn't it interesting that most of the time these are funded by the government itself, whose primary goal is to increase the size of government? And isn't it interesting that the solutions to so-called climate catastrophes is always more government control?
Right. And so the government funding, basically, if you want to get part of those funds, up until the current EPA, up until the time of Trump, you had to convince them. They had to be sure that you were going to come out and say that we're facing a climate crisis. And yes, even if your integrity as a researcher, as a university professor prevented you from doing so, you had another hurdle to overcome. And that's because the universities themselves take a significant amount of overhead out of that funding, out of the government grant. So your institution would pressure you to not only say the right thing, but to do it aggressively so they can get more and more grants for more overhead. thank goodness for Donald Trump, because that's starting to change.
Well, also thank goodness for the Heritage, or the Heartland Institute, rather, the Heartland Institute, because were it not for your company, James, we wouldn't hear the actual truth when it comes to this climate alarmism. And if folks want more information on the truth, on verified facts, and to get the whole picture on who's behind these so-called climate extremism, how can they find you?
All right, I'm going to give you two internet sources. One is our website, heartland.org. Second, specific to the climate change debate, climateataglance.com. climateataglance.com. There, we take on 40 of the most commonly discussed climate change topics, hurricanes, droughts, coral reefs, and we give two-page summaries, so it doesn't go over your head, but it's sufficient to be compelling, and we show you what the scientific truth actually is. climateataglance.com.
James Taylor, president of the Heartland Institute, thank you, sir, for joining us here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thank you.
I always find it hilarious. Like, I just heard it this week about the hurricane hitting Jamaica, that it's because of climate change. And I always want to, I do. In fact, my wife tells me to save it for the radio, but I yell at the television and I say, wait, there hasn't been a hurricane in 3 years. Does that mean climate change was over for 3 years? If the presence of one hurricane means that climate change is real, then the absence of hurricanes for years means that it must be gone. I mean, that's the same logic.
That is the same logic.
And yet, we, of course, know that that is not the case. Hey, we got to take a break here. Coming back, we've got the cut of the day next on The Mark Reardon Show, 97.1 FM Talk. Back to The Mark Reardon Show, last segment of the day, folks. Glad you've been hanging out with us here on St. Louis Conservative, 97.1 FM Talk. And I'm going to throw this open for a minute before we get to the cut of the day. So, Ethan or Sue, what has been bothering you the most about the mainstream coverage of the government shutdown?
Okay, Ethan, you want to go first or you want me to go?
I think I would probably just, my answer is probably pretty similar to what it is oftentimes when you observe the, I guess, the media when it comes to politics, is that everything is so one-sided. Everything is pushing the blame on one side. And it just gets old, gets super old. And so that's what I would say is the most frustrating part about all of it. Mm.
Sue?
I don't like the lying, you know, of the Democrats saying, well, the Republicans are shutting down the government. What?
Yeah.
None of that. No, that's not what's happening. There was a woman in Congress who said, look, there are no Republicans here to vote today when we need to reopen. That's because it's already been through the House. What are you talking about? It's the deception and just the lying.
It is unfortunate. And I agree that the problem is that it's hard to decipher the truth when you're being told about a political agenda.
Right.
And they're basically reading from a script. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not actually reading, but they're talking, mm-hmm. they're giving the talking points of a certain political persuasion
right.
that is simply not true. And the reason why I wanted to lead with that is because John Thune got rather angry on the, he is the Senate Majority Leader in the Senate. And this is how he reacted to what is being covered about the government shutdown.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
The senator from New Mexico is absolutely right. SNAP recipients shouldn't go without food. People should be getting paid in this country. And we've tried to do that 13 times. And you voted no 13 times. This isn't a political game. These are real people's lives that we're talking about. And you all have just figured out 29 days in that, oh, there might be some consequences. There are people running out of money.
And you could hear, you could tangibly hear and feel John Thune's frustration in this, because he wants to reopen the government. He wants to get a vote to do a continuing resolution and then negotiate on these credits moving forward for Obamacare. And yet it's the Democrats who are refusing mm-hmm. to do it, in essence, holding the country hostage.
Yeah.
And the last couple of nights, I've seen several stories about how with SNAP programs, that's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and how SNAP benefits, which go to almost 45 million people in this country, are going to end. Now, in Missouri, we're going to continue those because of state funding, but in most places, it's going to end. So people are literally going to be starving, and the Democrats are holding the Republicans hostage in the Senate, putting people at risk of food insecurity just to make the point about Obamacare. And here's what people need to understand. What they're arguing for, what the Democrats are arguing for in the Senate, is actually the worst thing that we could possibly do to bring down healthcare costs. Because look at supply and demand, all right? What they're arguing for is to give more money to insurance companies to pay for more benefits. But that's not how you bring down the cost of anything. If you give more money to the insurance companies, all you're going to do is increase the prices because they've got more money to pay for the increased care. The way that you bring this down is to bring in fair and free market principles to the healthcare industry. Encourage more doctors. Eliminate more tests that are done just to prevent litigation. Those are the things. Opening more clinics as opposed to paying for more people to be on the government till. Because anytime the government pays for something, it inherently decreases efficiency, increases cost, and decreases the quality of care. Every time, period, drop the mic. That's what happens. So I'm so frustrated because the Democrats are arguing here that people need to be taken care of. That's right. But number one, people need to be fed. And number two, we have to reduce the costs, not inflate them. And that is the problem of the Democrat position. Brad Young, filling in for Mark Reardon today, had a great time. Stick around. Tomorrow will be Mike Elam will be sitting in tomorrow, so make sure you stick around on 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.